Lord, we just thank you, Lord, and we pray that you put good thoughts and welcome words, and he teaches us the way of your walk, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you for Jesus' sake. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Okay. Everybody hear me okay? Is that on okay? Yeah? I turned it on. Yeah. Thought I turned it on. Hello? Hello?
Ain't got no power.
No power.
Ain't got no power.
That's right. He ain't got no power. Red lights. Red lights on. That's right. You got another one in there? Nope. You're still in this?
No,
just not. Oh, you got it. Yep. Never mind. We got it. It's the day for batteries today.
Yeah, all right.
It's supposed to last at least 3 hours. It's only 6 hours
of the battery. The light's not on. Hot. Hello? No? No? Terminal in this. We got technical difficulties.
See what this does.
Oh boy, that one's working, all right? Thing. Everybody hear me now?
O'Neill can't.
O'Neill can't. Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to mention a couple scriptures, refer to them, and then we'll get into what the heart of the message is. The heart of the message is fairly simple, and I hope will bless us all, and that we'll grab a hold of what we need to grab a hold of. We've talked before out of Matthew 5, verse 13, about how we're to be salt. The church is supposed to be salt, and if the salt loses its savor, it's really good for nothing, and it will end up being trampled underfoot by men. That was one scripture that we talked about, and we've looked at that fairly deeply. I want you to let's start with Proverbs 25. Just want to set a stage here, and then we'll get into the heart of the message. Proverbs 25.
Now, can you move the mic a little closer to your mouth?
Hello? Better?
Can you check in and see if it's on?
Doesn't sound like
it's on.
Doesn't
sound like
it. Okay. I think now you can hear it. I think that we've seen and we've talked about this a lot. It's very, I think, it's very plain in front of our eyes that the church, though we speak the gospel and we have done much good in the world, that there seems to be a loss of the savor of the Lord. I think that many churches get too caught up with programs, and there's just things that happen that have divert our focus. We talk a good talk, but there's lots of things in our hearts that we don't really allow God to deal with. And so we don't have that depth of character, that depth of power that could be there, that God has availed to us, but it's just not there in the sense that it needs to be. Not in a condemning way, but there is just so much more that I think by this particular point in time in the history of the church that we would be in a much stronger and better place. But we do know that there's all these things that were going to happen in the world, that we're coming to the end of the age, and some of these things in the world were going to happen. But the church should be in a stronger place than it is in. Would you agree with that? And I think some of this we see here in Proverbs 25, verse 26, says this: "A righteous man who falls before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring." Now, the church, if we fall away, if we back away from evil or the wickedness that's in the world, if we don't stand as, number one, an example of the way people should live, and not in a prudish way, and not in a condescending way, looking down, but just living a humble, loving life that looks to... what happened there?
I guess the battery's dead on that one. We can hear you without it.
Yeah, I know you can. So I'm going to take this apparatus off here.
This is an interesting day.
The devil's trying to shut you up now.
It's not going to happen. You know, Jesus said in Matthew, it's somewhere in Matthew 24, he says, "And when I come, will I find faith in the earth?" You know, he's talking about the church too. You know, are we people that really know our faith? Do we really know how we stand on things? Do we live the life that Jesus has asked us to live? You know, and I think if we all look at ourselves, we would say, oops, huh? You know, no matter how well, you're going to try to do something again?
One more time.
One more time.
We got this.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
We got this. Be careful, Neil, coming in here. Not here. Hey, come on.
So, you hear that okay, O'Neil?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Where was I?
Finding faith on the earth.
And he's really talking. I need people. See, one of the points of this message is how much we need each other. I was just so blessed yesterday listening to John speaking. He gave a fantastic testimony, woven in with apologetics of our faith, and how important it is that we be able to take the time to think about our faith and to understand that when people come to us, that we have an answer for them. You know, I know that you know this scripture, and it was mentioned yesterday. As a matter of fact, it's in 1 Peter. I think it's 1 Peter 3. Yeah, it's verse 15, and it says this: "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you about the reason of the hope that is in you." And we are supposed to do this with meekness and fear, with meekness and reverence. How important is this? I mean, if the church has a breach in it now, has been trampled down, has been polluted. I don't think there should be anybody in here that doesn't feel like the church has been muddied up, has been polluted, that righteousness isn't at the top of where it needs to be in every single one of our lives, and that there's always that room to improve there. And that we take that seriously. Every single one of us. Do that right now inside your heart. Lord, I want to live a more righteous life. Can you do that inside your heart right now? I want to live a more righteous life. And when I do, I will be honoring you. And I want your life to live through me, Lord. God, how much we really need this as a church. And not just be hearers of it. I want to read something Roland mentioned to me this morning, and I went, oh man, that goes right with what I want to say. So it's Amos. You don't have to turn there because it's going to be hard to find anyway. So it's Amos chapter 8, verse 11. It says this: Behold, the days come. And we're in these days. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. People can't hear anymore. Don't want to hear anymore. Don't want to be provoked by the word of God. Don't want to be to allow change to happen in them. We want it to happen easily. When we do open up ourselves to that, we want it to be easy. And it's not going to be. And we have to be people who understand that. Right?
Yes.
Now, there's so many bad things that are in the world. There's just so much evil, so much. It's hard for us, even if after we become Christians, to want to go further in the Lord, to press on toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's lots of people that are saved. They're in the church. They're going to go to heaven, and they're satisfied with the area where they're at. And there's not that greater hunger. There's not that striving for something higher. Isn't that important? You know, yesterday we were talking about how especially young people, but really everybody needs to have a higher purpose to go for. Right?
Yes.
I mean, gosh, we as the church, we have the most opportune, most fantastic thing to goad us to keep going. That high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Has anybody here, when you have touched the Lord in worship, when you've opened up your heart in prayer, or opened up your heart to the Lord, showing you things about yourself and about change, isn't that one of the most beautiful moments in your life? When you sense the presence of God. And it's funny that we don't pursue that more and more and more and more and more and more and more. I don't understand that about myself. I don't. Because when I'm experiencing it, there's nothing greater in the whole world. Is there?
No.
All of you that have experienced that too. There's nothing greater. You know, I guess what it is that the scripture says that, especially toward the end of the age, that we should exhort one another. And more as you see the day approaching. Now, what does the word, there's another dictionary word. What does the word exhort mean? Encourage. To build up Okay? Now, if there's anything that the church needs right now, in a trampled down kind of state of existence in terms of the way we can move in power, is encouragement, is being built up, right? We need that. And this whole thing about a building, you know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 5, it says, there's no other foundation that can be built upon except one, and that's Jesus, right? Jesus is the foundation. And then it says, but then be careful how you build on it. How are we building our own individual faith? How's that getting built? How are we being encouraged? And I'll tell you, we need one another for that encouragement. You can't be an island unto yourself and think that you're going to get through all the things that are happening in this world and you don't need the rest of the body. We need one another. Don't we?
Yes.
We need the encouragement that not only comes by us reading the Word and being blessed by what everybody else says. Isn't it great when you see a wonderful example of something of Christ?
Yeah.
You know? I was listening to John yesterday, and my heart was just, oh, thank you, God, for John. You know? What? No, this is really true. There are every single one of you. I mean, really, inside my heart, and I, you know, sometimes we don't say things that we need to say to one another.
Yes.
You know, Darlene Mason died on July 4th. If anybody here doesn't know that, and I thought, you know, I wish I could have said, you know, I love you as a sister, Darlene. Before I didn't think she was, I didn't know anything that she was going to be dying. I don't think anybody did.
I don't think,
you know, yeah, but you know, but it made me think. I got to make sure I tell people that are still around how much I appreciate them and love them for who they are. You know, and especially who they are in Christ. When words come out of somebody's mouth that's truth, that's about the Lord, that shows their desire to go further in Christ, doesn't it encourage you? It gives you the strength to keep moving on. Yeah? You know, that song, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is in us. I'm telling you, the power of even just a person's presence does something for the rest of us. There's a gap missing when somebody isn't here. Don't you feel that? I do. It's wonderful that we have an opportunity to be together. Because what you are as a person, and you might, I know how I feel about myself, and you probably feel the same way about you. Well, who am I? You know, what, do I really make a difference? You know? Now, you might think that's funny that I'm saying that, you know, because I do a lot of preaching. But, you know, I still feel that way about myself. Who am I? You know, what difference does it make? You know, but I want to tell you, and this, I want you to know this. This is from God saying to you, you make a difference. You make a difference. You have worth in Christ. You and I need to be encouraged that way. Because we would tend to just kind of, you know, I can look at most of you and know that most of us are like little wallflowers on the wall.
Do you remember what it was like in 7th and 8th grade and going to the dance? This was me at the dance. I was shocked. What if I go up to that girl and I ask her to dance and she says no? I'd be mortified. I'd be embarrassed. Right? See, and then you have your buddies. They're encouraging you. She'll dance with you. Go on, go ahead. That's not, I'm trying to stay on the encouraging side. You get this encouragement, and then what you wouldn't have done, now, maybe you will. And after a little bit of goading, after a little bit of all this other stuff that can happen to you, maybe you'll step out and you'll actually do it. And I want to say to everybody here, the Lord is inside you if you've accepted Christ, right? You have that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living in you. You have a special glow that's only yours that God has given to you. Lots of times the enemy wants to say, well, you don't have the same glow as that other guy over there. We compare ourselves. And so instead of speaking, when God is moving you to share something, you hold back. Well, I can't speak as good as that other guy over there. Isn't that terrible?
Yes.
Because, see, we need the exhorting. We need that encouragement. We need to hear the words that bring life, that build up. Don't we?
Yes.
We really do. And we need to have, it's going to be directed by the Holy Spirit. But I want to read you something here, because the Lord told me not to take too long with this. I want you to go to the book of Nehemiah. After I'm done doing this, you'll say, I thought you said it was only supposed to be
2 more minutes.
Nehemiah.
I want to that because she has something about
sure, go ahead.
Encouragement.
Yeah, go ahead.
On my row in the Chickawalope, we had 6 girls in the neighborhood. And 3 of them were my sisters and 3 girls down the row. And junior high dancers, they would come and make me. Otherwise, I'd have been hiding over the car.
Yeah.
And all the other guys are going, like, how did you do that? They forced me to do that.
Now, I want us to see something as far as building is concerned. Building one another up. All right. Nehemiah, I haven't told you the chapter yet, have I?
No.
Thank you, Rachel. For
waiting.
I know. Chapter 4. Don't you just love Rachel? Nehemiah, chapter 4. Now, some things are in ruin in the church. There's things in ruin in terms of character, a real depth of character in lots of the Christian church, in terms of having the boldness to speak forth negate the things that come at us. We've talked about numerous situations. People talk about evolution and all of these things that get taught in schools a lot. Is there an answer? Is there a biblical answer to those kinds of questions that you know, because people always set science up against faith, and yet faith is the evidence of things, for the evidence of things not seen, right? It's not, faith and science are not opposed to one another. We've talked about this before. But people want to say that. People want to say faith is blind and science has all the facts. And that's not really true, as we know. You know? And so people need to have that filled in. Well, what are the facts? What are the facts? Is there another side of the argument? And do you and I know any of that? That we can give an account of that hope that's within us. Why do we believe what we believe? We need to think about that more. That was part of what John was talking about yesterday. Was there anything you want to say anything right now? You feel the Holy Spirit, just anything that from what you said yesterday, John, or Reggie or Steve or anybody else that was there?
I just think that you can go through life and not prepare for that question when somebody asks you. Mm. But if you believe what you really believe in that conversation you're having, when someone comes to you in pain and they're saying, how can there be a God if this bad thing happens? That conversation could be the most important they have in their life.
That's right.
And you didn't think about it in the slightest. In all that time you had to prep, whatever it is, 10, 20 years to get ready for that question, you don't even think about it. You don't think about what you know. You don't think about your faith. Yeah. And you may think, I'm not that type of person, but you have to be able to have the conversation. Yeah. You're not going to be, as was yesterday, Ravi is this guy that does apologetics on the radio, and he's completely fruity. You never understand half of what he's saying. But you don't have to be that guy, but you've got to be able to have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know? And know what you believe.
And it's important that you realize that you're important for that. That God does want to use every single member of the body of Christ as a person that when the time comes, that when something is offered, is asked, that you have an answer for the hope that's in you.
I think too that you have to know who you're talking to. And that was another point that Mr. John made, which was really good, which is very important. And I don't think we know each other enough. You know, we don't understand the kids enough because they talk a different language. We don't. If you're in the middle, you don't know the older people enough because they talk a different language. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't understand each other as a person enough.
Yeah.
We don't really understand how people think. You know, and Walter's brought this up before, where. You know, if you have a mechanical mind, it's different than a science mind, and it's different than a teacher's mind. Yeah. Everybody has their own ways of perceiving the world, right? So if you don't know the person, then when you're talking to them, from your perspective,
mm-hmm.
and so it's hard for them to relate because. It's coming from your perspective. So if we know each other and we're prepared for that, then you can look into their perspective and try to meet them where they're at versus where you're at.
And I think really the way that God has led us here in this church is that not just one person preaches.
Right.
That this is to a certain degree a very open forum. So that as the Holy Spirit touches different people, even though I'm the one that's talking right now, that you all know that if you feel moved by the Spirit, and it's not taking away from what the message is, but it adds to, and maybe brings a clarification that me, from my perspective, my understanding, I would never say, but you say it, and it's going to bless somebody else. And I think this is why we're growing inside more, because the Scripture tells us that the body edifies, gets built up, as every joint supplies. As every person, every member of the church brings in what they see. and what they offer helps to bring a perspective that one person can't do all on his own. Isn't that right? And this is why it can happen, because numbers of you are feel freedom to share at particular points during a message, because it's part of the message. Isn't that how we believe? How we think about these things?
I know I've always felt that way. I've always wanted to have be at a church where it isn't just reliant on one person, because you're only getting one perspective. You know, it's important that we hear and we digest and we separate what's of God and what isn't of God. You know, and the way certain people say something, it's going to touch somebody that wouldn't have gotten touched otherwise. Okay, so I just want us to realize that if we're going to be people that want to have be a church where there is savor, where there is salt, right? That where people that are moving toward something that's higher in Christ, that we be people that understand that lots of people aren't going to like that. Notice what it says here in Nehemiah 4. Let's look at verse 1. It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, okay, here's this thing about building, right? Okay, he was very angry, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. That's already happening in the church, isn't it? Whenever somebody stands on righteousness, stands in a place of humbleness and non-judgmentalness, but speaks truth, those people get mocked. Those people are the ones that are called intolerant, and yet it's the ones that are railing against the Christians who say that this is a sin because the Bible says it is, and this is how it, this is what God says about things. And because we say that, not judging people, but saying what God says about something, then we get mocked. We get labeled. And I think lots of people in the church step back because we don't want to be labeled as intolerant, do we? And so what happens? Then there is no voice to say that something is not what God wants. Then everybody thinks, oh, it's okay, because the church is keeping their mouth shut. Right? Yeah. So you see how that works? And so I think it's important that we become restorers of this breach that's in the church. We will be people that will stand in the gap. I'm not talking about, you know, angry, not having any kind of empathy or sympathy for people that are caught in certain things. We talked about this last week. We all have sin, and this is what always comes whenever something is brought up and something is pointed out to people. Well, what about you? Well, yeah, I got it too, and I need to be shown this so that I can go and take that before the Lord. But that's important for us, isn't it? See, the church doesn't want to get into that. And I'm not talking about us being nosy with each other and getting in and looking with a microscope at people's lives. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when God brings something up, that we deal with these things in our own hearts and with the people that are in the church. We love each other, don't we?
Yes.
Do you want to say something?
No, I thought you were asking.
No, I wasn't.
If somebody was going to step in front of a car that was moving, wouldn't you try to help them? You know, you
absolutely
push them out of the way. And you may even push them hard, and they may even get scun up, but it was to save them from getting hit by the car.
Anybody know this story about Nehemiah? I'm not going to go into any more depth with it, but most of you know the story. How did they build the wall? How did they build up?
With soldiers. Yeah. Huh? Swords.
Yeah.
People watched and half the people worked, and then they take turns.
Yeah.
And they watched and made sure nobody destroyed their work.
That's correct. And that is something we have to be very watchful of. Because false ideas, things to get us to say, well, that's not so bad. Let's not bring that up. Let's just avoid talking about that or addressing these particular things. Sounds fine because we're supposed to, quote, show love. But I want you to remember something I've said a lot and that we've talked about before. Love without truth is not real love. Love and truth are married together, it says. The way it says it in 1 Corinthians 13 is, love rejoices in the truth. And that word rejoice means to have an intimate relationship with. There's an intimate relationship between truth and love. And the world wants to talk about love, and it's always on a surface. It's always on a surface existence, don't you think? Because real love, you want that person to go to a higher place, to be all that person can be, right? And you have to tell somebody sometimes. You know, you have to tell somebody sometimes. And being able to hear that is important too.
Can I say something that happened to me this morning?
Sure.
My little brother left. Well, before he left this morning, I said, "You know, Bob, I miss him already.
Yeah.
Because I love him so much."
Yeah.
But God says, "Well, you'll have eternity with him. Tell him to pray for his children." And then he says, "Tell him the storms are coming. And the great black clouds are coming."
Yeah.
"And to prepare." And then, I mean, this is a sensing thing. And that to look to Jesus, like Peter, to keep his eyes on Jesus so he can walk the waters. To remember that God stills the storms in your life.
Yes.
But then not that things will be better. Things are going to get real rough. Prepare your children for this, because the storms are coming. And that, and then the other thing, because while you were talking, the Lord also wants me to tell you that I feel like he tells me that I pray for every single one of you that I have in my book, and I pray for your children, and I pray for your children's children, but you should pray for your children.
Yeah.
Not just assume, oh, they'll be okay because times are changing, and it's going to be a dark and scary time, and they need to hold on fast to Christ.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because people don't want to hear that there's a dark and gloomy time coming up. We're already into it to some degree, but there's some very, very bad things that are on the horizon in terms of financial situations in our country, and people don't want to hear that. I think I brought a message a few weeks ago about cognitive dissonance. Just want to avoid it. I don't want to hear that. And you just and you can close right down to the very thing that God wants us to be warned about.
Yes.
You know, and therefore to get ready for it. There are things that are coming up, but this is what you said is so important. We have Jesus, don't we?
Yes.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave is in us. And you know, no matter all the bad things that might be coming down the pike, I'll tell you what, I have joy in my heart knowing that I have Jesus. What's it going to be like for people that don't know? That should be a driving, motivating factor for us to talk to other people about the Lord who don't know the Lord. Because it's going to be tough, I think.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, go ahead.
There's one thing I've been thinking of lately because of the changes in the laws of the land.
Yeah.
I have a responsibility to tell my grandchildren that just because it's a law of the land, it doesn't mean that it's right.
That's right.
But that it's true.
Yeah, last week we talked about this and we said, isn't it amazing that what God calls sin is a right, is a law in our country? We're not coming against people. We're just saying what God says about something, and this is happening in more than just one or two areas. This is happening in quite a few areas, you know? And it's important that we stand in the gap and we begin to repair these breaches in the wall, and that we build up the things by us speaking and encouraging one another and speaking truth to those outside of the church and some inside the church. I want you to last scripture, Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Because I think this is part of what God is asking us to do here at the end of the age. Are we going to be those that are of the faith when he comes back? Or are we going to drift away from it? Because it's easier. You know? It's going to be easier to drift away. And the scripture tells us there's going to be a great falling away from the faith at the end of the age. Great falling away. Going to open up to deceiving spirits that are going to lead people into all kinds of different sin. And people are, because if the church isn't the voice that's going to speak those things and say, hey, wait a minute, that's not really a good thing. This goes against what God says. At least to say that, at least to be able to be at, you know, to stand in that gap, try to repair the things that have happened. I think God's looking for some people to do that here at the end of the age. It says in verse 12, Isaiah 58:12, and they that shall be of you will build the old waste places. In other words, the places that were laid waste, destroyed, going to get rebuilt. You will rise up the foundations of many generations. You know, in Proverbs, I think it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I think it's Proverbs 11. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And here it says that, but there are people that are going to see what's before them and are going to attempt to begin to repair that which has been broken down, that which has been laid waste. And really, on a moral sense, even the way the structure of the church, there's so many areas of the church that have been, it isn't the way God intended it to be. And people need to see this and be able to move, you know, start repairing it. And it says here, and raise up the foundation of many generations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. This is going to be important at the end of the age to be people that restore the breach. Well, how many of you know that there's a breach? You can say that, can't you? Now, God, part of this upward call of God in Christ Jesus is to restore. I think we're all restorers. God put all this, put inside of us the things that if we stand in the right place and speak the right words and aren't afraid, we can help to restore some things before the Lord returns. Yes?
Yes.
Are you up for that? Hopefully. Well, I think God's encouraging us to be these kind of people. To be that kind of people.
Malcolm.
Yes.
Can I just read Isaiah 60, verse 2?
Yes.
It says, "Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you."
Hallelujah. Because that's what it is, isn't it? Darkness and light. We, if we're shining what God tells us to shine, tells us to speak a certain way, to love a certain way, to say what needs to be said, then we're going to be light in a dark place. Hallelujah.
So Lord, I ask today that we would take a hold of this. To be restorers of the breach, to repair the things that have been broken down, your house that needs to be put more in order, and that comes by us listening to you, obeying you, Lord, to be led by your Spirit, to love those who don't love us, to reach out and be all that. Your life can be in us. So Lord, help us to be these repairers, to be people totally committed to your work. This life is only a little blip. We have an eternity with you. Lord, we want to honor you and serve you here. We thank you, Jesus. Be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to say, too, that I know.